Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Wow, what a conflicting feeling yesterday, Perloff, when we got the news that O.J. Simpson had passed away. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Believe me, we've got lots of fun stuff for you today. E.J. is king for a day. We've got silly things. We've got actual sports news with Kentucky making and zeroing in on a new head coach. We got Tom Brady sound. We got it all. But I think we have to start with O.J. Simpson because this news hit in a unique way because the O.J. Simpson story, and obviously he passed away yesterday. He was battling cancer. But the O.J. Simpson story means something different, I think, to every person in America because of the breadth and depth of the story. You know, I think the first thing and I go to is obviously he's a murderer. He was found liable for the murder of two people. He did end up going to jail and serving time for a different crime. He was a serial abuser. That's where I go to first. I realize, though, there is much more to the story when you're talking about OJ.
I mean, the first thing that jumps to my mind, and yes, all that is true, and it's not really mixed feelings in the sense that I have no sympathy or anything like that. It's the car chase, the white Bronco. I just remember watching the Knicks-Rockets game with my dad and that coming on the TV. And that's, for me, like, that's what it brings me back to because, you know, I'm going to do the old man thing. If you weren't there, it's kind of hard to understand the impact of it. It was one of those things that everybody watched, everyone talked about. It was sort of like, it felt like a cultural touchstone in the sense there was no internet there, but everybody could come together over this. And there really are, now that things seem spread out in pop culture, you know, everybody has their own thing. You can listen to your own music. You can watch your own shows.
But back then,
everybody was talking about OJ. It was the only thing that people were talking about, the trial. So it brings me back to like a different time. Where everybody was kind of focused on the same thing. And just as a huge 90s basketball fan, just to have that going on at a time, like I was into that Knicks-Rockets series. It was a huge deal to me. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. For me, that's the one day that stands out.
Well, yeah, because you and I don't have JFK's assassination. You know, like it was the first thing to me was the Bronco chase, but more the verdict of the trial was the first where were you moment that I'll remember so clearly and where I was and vivid memories of everything. And that was the first one I had. And obviously then, you know, I think 9/11 becomes the second one for all of us. But for
did you have a different one, the Challenger? The Challenger.
Yeah.
My gosh. When that's what we're talking about. That was that 85, the same year as the Bears Super Bowl. It was right around the Bears Super Bowl. And then the OJ verdict.
Yeah.
9/11, the few others, but wow, that's a great analogy because that's the impact.
It is, and the part of like the story and what like OJ's story was, and of course we're talking about OJ Simpson who passed away. It's like everything. It's a sports, you know, it's somebody who grew up in poverty. It's also someone who pulled themselves out of it through sports. It's somebody who became a sports icon, who became almost a deity, who had the charisma and passion to then go on to a post-playing career where he's in movies and he's a pitch man and he's reached those heights. And then it's a story about, obviously, you know, domestic abuse. It's about murder. It's about this trial. It's about race, definitely about race. It's about media. It's about fame. It's about everything. There's not one part of our society that's not touched by the OJ story. And so I found myself going back to, you know, you look at it through a different lens in every part of your life.
Sure.
To me, the sports is like zero. You know, and I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, and I always thought it was so odd that they always kept his name up in the Ring of Honor. To go to Bill Stadium.
Wait, is it there right now?
Yeah. And to go there and to see O.J. Simpson. I mean, the last time I was there, it was there. I haven't been in a while. But to see it there was always so, like, how could you keep it up? Like, this is how much we love sports. This is how much we are so, at times, blinded by our love of these athletes. You're keeping his name up in the Ring of Honor after the fall from grace that he had. Was always wild to me. But to me, the sports part of it really isn't a part. And I can appreciate athletes who I never saw compete, like Muhammad Ali and others. I understand. But to me, OJ's sports career just doesn't even, it's not even a factor. And maybe that's just because of how old I am and the other facts of his life.
Well, I think his bust is still there in Canton as well.
Definitely.
Because they don't take anyone down in the Hall of Fame. You know, I remember, I actually was a huge OJ fan because I loved, for some reason, our networks always showed NFL films, and there's no better NFL film than O.J. Simpson, because this was an era in the 80s when running backs were the stars.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody cared about quarterbacks.
Nope.
It was running backs, and O.J. had this thing where he could jump cut, and it was beautiful. I mean, he was an incredible athlete to watch. If you ever see the USC footage, too, he was, and then he was in this movie that I love that you love, too, Naked Gun.
Like Nordberg.
He had almost 100 approval rating. There was something incredibly non-controversial about him, and that's another thing, and I'm not the first. The first person to point that out, it was one of the first times where you realize, oh, famous people are not who we think they are. That's a huge impact, too. Now we're automatically cynical. We see a famous person, and we know there's a difference between what they're like in front of the camera and behind the camera. But OJ had close to 100% approval rating, and that's what makes it even more sort of alarming how it all happened. And I admit, I want him to be innocent when the trial was going on. I was like, oh, gosh, I hope he didn't do this.
Right.
But then it became... Then I was on the team that I go, he clearly did this. You have to find him guilty. But, and I think that's how history ultimately has judged him. I think over the years, the people who are defending him have sort of quieted down. And now I think most people agree that he did it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the civil trial for sure, when he's like found liable for it, even though he wasn't found guilty. And I think people were obviously talking about O.J. Simpson, who passed away. He was battling cancer. But I think the other part is there were the trial. Became so much more than just did O.J. Simpson kill these two people in Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. It became so much more than that. And a lot of times that's what famous people, famous athletes, whatever, they become kind of symbols. We don't really know these people. So we put our, you know, we assign symbols to them. And O.J., that trial became a symbol, I think, for a lot of other things, which was race relations in Los Angeles and fame and wealth and all of the things. And it just became so much more than the actual, like, did he do it? There was so much put on that case. Did he do it was also a big part of it. And then I think it was distasteful after, you know, where he gets found innocent or not guilty, but then they go to the civil trial. But OJ then walked around after that as if the whole world felt the same way as that jury. You know, he walked around playing golf. I'm going to find the real killers. And he's out on the golf course. And it always seemed like a disconnect. Like, how can you just feel like you're going to walk back into society and people aren't going to still have feelings about it? Up until after he gets out of prison for, you know, the theft case, like involving his Heisman Trophy in Las Vegas. And EJ, we were talking about this. Like, he's back on Twitter. Like, hey, Twitter
hello,
world.
Twitter world.
Yeah, hello, Twitter world. Hey, it's OJ here, like, giving you some thoughts on the Jags-Titans game this weekend. And it always felt like even he didn't understand.
Well,
he was a pariah for most people.
I thought one of the crazy parts, too, is he wrote a book saying, if I did it.
Right.
Because he needed cash so bad that he almost admitted it in a book.
Yep.
So there was
a sellout aspect.
There was an awareness.
Commercialization of it that was gross.
I think there was a little bit of awareness that he knew he did. I think the way he acted is consistent with somebody who committed murder. But there's obviously, what do you call it, dissociative property? Like, he was able to separate what happened. The thing about the trial, too, is like Johnny Cochran and if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The glove, yeah.
The actual details and the cop who was a dirty cop, it was incredible. Like,
Mark Furman was the
racist. Cato Kalin sitting out there, and they went to order hamburgers. I remember there's no trial that I've followed like this. I mean, I know they're big trials. But there were so many little things. And you brought in Gil Garcetti, the DA at the time, then became a huge celebrity. Marsha Clark. Like, there's, can you imagine Darden. A trial right now where everybody becomes a celebrity? Marsha Clark was featured in every 6 o'clock. Some show would come on Entertainment Tonight. They'd be talking about Marsha Clark and her haircut for 10 minutes.
How about the Kardashians? I mean, we don't.
Well, as a result of this, yeah.
We don't get introduced to that family. I mean, again, there's like so much. There's so much on this. And I think we're curious about what part of the OJ story do you find yourself going back
question.
To yeah. now that he has passed away?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it perfectly. Everybody has a certain part of this that they glom onto first. I don't think, I have not heard anybody with any sympathetic comments about it. I think that's appropriate. There's no reason. I like what you said. Like, for you, there's no sports. I actually do remember the sports a little bit. But, I mean, the guy rushed for 2,000 yards in 14 games, which is funny because now they have 16 games and they can barely get to 2,000 yards. And he was in Buffalo. But it's all part of the story. It's the rise and the fall because he was so high that he, honestly, I think a lot of people were like, OJ couldn't have done this.
Yes.
Just because he was a great athlete. And that
great
is that is the insanity. It's the insanity of how we worship athletes and worship celebrities think they can't do it. Turns out he did.
855-212-4227. Again, what part of OJ's story do you find yourself going back to? Because it hits everybody in a different way. Let's go to Chris, who's in Sacramento. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
You know, I'm older than both of you. I'm 58. I was a product of the 70s. And I tell you, the 70s was a different, innocent, you know, if you want to call it innocent time. OJ, besides being a great athlete, he was a movie star. He was in TV shows. He's a role model. You know, I mean, I remember we lived in the Bay Area. He spoke to us at our school. And, he, you know, pitched a try hard in school and, you know, listen to your folks. And when you play sports, you give it your all. And, you know, where I'm going with this is it was my childhood here. You know, you go to the Sears catalog, which you guys probably don't know much about, and pick out an O.J. Simpson jersey, and you're O.J. for a weekend, you know, with your buddies. And, you know, when your childhood hero turns out not to be a hero, your childhood takes, it's like throwing a rock through a window. Mm. You lose your hero.
Yeah, Chris, you're so right. There's like and well said, it's like a fall from innocence for people like Chris who grew up in the Bay Area where OJ is from the Bay Area and idolized him. And then you get that. And it does feel like your whole childhood, if he was a childhood hero, it's almost like it's built on a lie.
Yeah.
Like it's fraudulent, you know, and you did nothing. It was some other person who did it, but they kind of shatter what you thought.
Absolutely. Well said. I mean, you can't even imagine now an athlete that is that popular getting involved in something like this seems unthinkable. And it was unthinkable.
I know. I was thinking maybe like Strahan. Like you have to go to somebody who has crossed over into the public. And like it would have to be someone of that even bigger. I mean, Michael Strahan is massive.
But he was a defensive player. OJ was different. He was the face of the NFL. Strahan, by nature, being a pass rusher, would never be the face of the NFL. The crossover aspect, a guy who's in movies.
Like The Rock or something. I mean, it would have to be, but The Rock didn't have the athletic career. Again, I don't know why we're trying to compare this. You get the point. You know, he was the top of the mountain in terms of an athlete and then a post-playing career, and then you couldn't have a bigger fall from grace.
When he retired in the NFL, I would argue he was one of the top five most popular players in the history of the league. I mean, you're talking Jim Brown, O.J. Simpson, maybe Roger Staubach and Terry Brown. He was in that level. He might have been more popular than all of them because he had the commercial and he had the movies.
Yep.
It is. So there was a lot. I understand. That's really interesting that he meant something to somebody who grew up in the 70s way different, because I think young people really don't go past the murder, I would imagine.
Well, the other part too is the NFL really has, I said it's odd that he's still, I think, up in the Ring of Honor in Buffalo and his bust is still at the Hall of Fame in Canton, but the NFL has really scrubbed him from everything. You know, he's not on clip shows, not on top 10 shows. You know, the NFL and NFL media, we never talk about him as ourselves as media. Like, it's just you don't touch it.
I saw an NFL.com list of the greatest players ever, though, and he was 51. This was recently. And I was like, oh, my God, they put OJ on that list.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, I thought maybe just leave him off of it. Like, because you're right, you don't rank him like a normal player.
No. 855-212-4227. So get started with some thoughts about OJ Simpson, and he passed away from cancer on April 10th, his family announced. All right, coming up, Kentucky men's basketball makes a decision on their head coach. We've got that and so much more today. It's Maggie and Perloff across the country. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Started the show talking about the impact of O.J. Simpson on society in the 90s. Incredible. It's hard to overstate how big a deal that was at the time and the legacy that it has. You give us a call, 855-212-4227. With when you think of O.J. Simpson, what's the thing you think of? Maggie and I come from we're different ages, different angles, but overall, I think we agree it's hard to overstate how big it was at the time. And really, like, it lasts. One of the reasons...
The trial, you mean.
No, just the entire rise and fall of O.J., But the Made in America documentary that I think... Did you reference that? Anyway, it was a first... I think it's the first sports documentary ever to win the Oscar in the documentary category. Brought it all home. And it's amazing. You could have had a documentary on O.J. before the murders. It was an incredible... You know, his life was incredible even before that. And then afterwards, even his life after the murders was so surreal.
Yeah.
There were so many weird things going on.
Like the Miami years.
Yes.
It was, again.
The videos they were shooting of his wild lifestyle.
Yeah.
We had a caller. The difference between what we saw of O.J. before 1994 and what we knew afterwards, you cannot state how different. You never would have been able to predict any of this. And I think we were much more naive about domestic abuse at the time.
Definitely.
I think now we're more aware what the trends and the patterns are. And obviously the police should have seen that at the time. A lot of people failed Nicole Brown along the way to what happened.
Oh, definitely. And O.J. passed away from cancer 2 days ago. His family announced, so all these feelings are getting brought up. And, you know, the other part of it was O.J. was very friendly with the police. You know, that was always the story. He would have cops over to his house in Brentwood. They'd be playing tennis together. Like, he had this good relationship. Meanwhile, you know, they were getting calls that, you know, he was being abusive. And, you know, she said he's going to kill me. I mean, it's all like the classic sort of pattern, unfortunately, this type of domestic abuse. And then, you know, what, like, O.J. having that good relationship actually with the police. And then the police... kind of being on trial also along with him. Like the police in LA were certainly, and LAPD were certainly on trial along with OJ because of, you know, cops who had been racist, because of cases that had been mishandled, and because, like, how many times had, you know, people of color been, you know, wrongly accused of things and convicted of things, and OJ became kind of a symbol of sort of rejecting all of that, even if he was guilty.
You know, one of the other things, too, about we knew, and at the time, I think we all kind of dived into the details. The incredible thing is how it all happened, too. The kids were upstairs asleep, and they had this little area where it all happened, and he had to kill two people with a knife.
Yep.
And it was, that was started, like, we actually, you could envision this happening. And then he had to get, he had to wake up, he had to go home, and then he had to get ready for this trip to Chicago. It's been reenacted, and there was a fictional movie that went along with it. I remember David Schwimmer played Robert Kardashian.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty good. And the movie, like, he had to go home, clean up, he had this cut on his hand, get on an airplane, and it's amazing. So not only did we know what happened to the murder, we know what OJ did as a cover-up. I don't think we ever found the knife. There's rumors that Robert Kardashian had it. And, you know, it's like the JFK murder in that you could really dive in and get into the details of this. And I think people did that in probably an unhealthy way back in 1994.
Oh, it was an obsession.
Obsession.
Absolute obsession. And it was also kind of being beamed into our living rooms in real time because of the creation of Court TV, which became like this big thing. And you said it was like a reality show. It was. People were riveted by it. We didn't have a lot of, I mean, we did have other distractions. People have their life, but not like today where you have a million things coming at you in your phone and you can decide what you want to watch. I mean, this was unavoidable.
Yeah, 150 million people watched the verdict. So that's way more than any Super Bowl. I saw a stat, 95 million people watched the Bronco chase. 95 million.
Yeah, I mean. I remember it. You remember it. You remember where you were with the verdict? I remember being in school. 855-212-4CBS, and people are cheering. Shane is in Louisville. Hey, Shane, how are you?
Hey, guys. I was just telling the producer that I had a story. He was actually, OJ was here for the Derby. I can't remember which one. And famous restaurant. steak restaurant here in Louisville. They have one in Cincinnati. It's called Jeff Ruby's. They actually asked him to leave.
Really?
Yep.
They asked him to leave?
All over the...
And this was right after the acquittal or years and years after?
Maggie, I can't remember exactly what year. It wasn't too long afterwards. But, yeah, they asked him to leave, and, you know, it hit the internet. It was all over the place. But they would not serve him.
Interesting. Shane, thank you for the memory. I think he encountered a lot of that where he went.
Oh, yeah.
I think people said it to his face. I mean, you know, you talk about now in today's social media and we call them keyboard warriors and people who will sit behind a keyboard and tell you, oh, you suck and I hate you. But people were saying it to OJ's face, calling him a murderer. I mean, I imagine that had to have followed him even late into his 60s and 70s.
Oh, absolutely. And then also, too, he actually went to jail for something completely different.
Yeah.
I do think there were people who looked past the murder and hung out with him. I saw it in the movie.
Definitely.
He sort of had his fans because we learned that he was a big socialite in L.A. He was part of a scene that I don't think I understood any of that until I saw like who he was hobnobbing with and what life was like in Brentwood. Seemed like it was way different than I would have expected.
It's funny. I watched that exact episode last night of the O.J. Made in America doc that you were talking about that won the Oscar. And he said afterwards, you know, of people who were, you know, finding him on the golf course and yelling murderer and things like that at him. He goes, listen, I've been in Brentwood longer than most of these people. You're the ones who are squatting. This is my home. No one's going to make me feel uncomfortable in my house, in my home. And yeah, it was interesting. Chris is in Oakland. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Oh, okay. Okay. Hey, yeah. I had a friend that was with the news service down in Los Angeles, and they had spoke to Nicole, you know, while she was alive, and hey, you know, you owe some money to the drug dealers, and because the rumor, it was a grapevine all over. A lot of people, you know, still know that. Not only Nicole, but Faye Resnick also is supposed to have been doing cocaine.
Yeah.
Okay. So the story is that she owed. It was a large amount, like over $100,000. And she said, I'm not worried. OJ will pay the bill. And so if you follow the trial, I did. I followed the trial. So he's paying child support. But there was another fee, another thing he was paying also like a volunteer. He cut that out. He stopped. Johnny Cochran pointed that out, so he stopped. Hmm. But Johnny Cochran also pointed out early on at the very beginning of the trial, he said that one of his witnesses was going to be Miss Hurstrom, and Miss Hurstrom lived across the street from O.J. Simpson. And she saw four men go into O.J.'s yard that night, and Johnny Cochran pointed that out. And so,
well, yeah, Chris, and I think it's Johnny Cochran's job as the defense attorney, and Johnny Cochran has passed away, but it's his job to create the doubt, right? His job as a criminal defense attorney to create doubt. About who could have done
it. It wasn't about
what.
Doubt. It wasn't about doubt because when it came time for Mrs. Hurstrom to testify, she had been arrested. She was arrested on a hotel charge. That's a civil trial. You don't go to jail on a civil trial. They arrested. So bang, that's the end of Mrs. Hurstrom's zero. She couldn't testify.
Interesting.
So
you know, Chris, I don't know that particular detail of it. I'm not saying you know it's right or wrong. Thank you for the phone call. But there's been 100 conspiracy theories that have come out of this also. Some of the more famous ones were it wasn't OJ, it was OJ's family member.
Yeah. Or that they were together at the time.
They were together at the time. I mean, and that is, again, that's the job of the criminal defense attorney is to create doubt. Yeah. Was the person there? Was it them? And the glove and putting that on and him not being able to fit was ultimately, I think, one of the big turning points in the trial.
You could do how many movies are within this story? Just a legal story. Because Johnny Cochran was brilliant. Effley Bailey, who's probably the most famous trial attorney in the history of the country, was or one of them.
It
I mean, his top five.
Later in his life.
You should see his history, the stuff that he did. Both of them were part of this legal dream team. So and
Robert Shapiro.
Yeah, and then going against government employees, it was almost unfair.
Yeah. There were nine lawyers on OJ's legal team, right? Carl Douglas was another famous one.
Yeah, and Johnny Cochran, who I just looked up, died in 2006, an incredible impactful life, becomes a bit of a punchline. I know there's a South Park episode about him and stuff, But he was no joke. And he had a history of representing before he came into the OJ case. I remember this part of the movie very well. He came into the OJ case and people saw Johnny Cochran's on this and it just changed everything. Like, oh, okay, maybe OJ has a chance now. And so that's another thing. The legal aspect of this Trace, Judge Gito, there's a movie in that. There's got to be 10 movies in this whole terrible story.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Andrew Bogish is here with some headlines. There has to be other things going on today. We know that.
Good morning, everybody. You guys will do more on this later in the show, but Kentucky almost has a new men's basketball coach. Finally, it's not Scott Drew or Dan Hurley or Nate Oates or Billy Donovan or either Patino
or Zach Gelb.
It's Mark Pope, the former Kentucky player.
Did they fly him down there?
Well, we'll see. Former Kentucky player, current BYU head coach, Pope and the Wildcats are reportedly finalizing a five-year agreement. Pope was on Kentucky's 96 national title team. His Cougars have danced twice in the last five seasons, but he didn't go to Temple like Zach Gelb, so I'm not sure exactly why Kentucky is hiring him for this job.
I mean, Kentucky has an opening. They always, the first place they look is Utah for the coach. They want BYU. This is such a lame landing spot here. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I like it. The guy went there and won a title there.
We were talking about John Calipari left, and we're talking about names like Jay Wright and Danny Hurley, and then Mark Pope is who shows up? You don't think this is a bit disappointing for Kentucky fans? This doesn't say something about the state of the program?
I think Rick Pitino would have been way more disappointing. It's like, wow, you guys are
content.
Really grasping at straws here. You're really trying to relive some crazy glory days. Now, at least you got someone who played on the team, who has a familiarity. The former players are going to be all behind it. This makes a lot of sense.
You're telling me if you're a Wildcat fan, you wouldn't rather have Rick Pitino back than Mark Pope?
No, because it's only going to be T-minus how many days until the next scandal with Pitino?
It's the NIL era. There's no more scandals.
He'll find one.
Oh, come on. This is definitely, there's no sizzle to Mark Pope. He's a BYU coach. By definition, there's no sizzle.
Well, BYU coach aside, I think what the lack of sizzle for me is that you'd have to think that Mark Pope's going to be like a good soldier here, right? Like he's not going to come in and be pissed and make backhanded compliments and stuff like that. You know, Calipari kept saying there was an NIL. They need to make more money. He's ruffling feathers. He's poking and prodding. You'd think Pope is going to be a little less
of an agitator,
of a rabble rouser,
than
but Calipari was.
What choice do you think he was? If you had to guess,
well, they certainly talked to Scott Drew. I mean, they flew Scott Drew there, so we know that the other guys all said no before anything public like that happened. But there's no way they didn't consider Billy Donovan at least as well.
And I think it's more about timing, though, than it was about these guys outright rejecting the job. Like, you know, you guys, we've talked about it. Would you have left the NBA for this job? Probably not. Billy Donovan can be mediocre in a great city like Chicago, and it seems like he's got a job there for as long as he wants. You know, for Jay Wright, I don't think any job's pulling Jay Wright out. I don't think the Knicks job's pulling Jay Wright out or the 76ers, so why would Kentucky? It's just, I think the timing, Scott Drew, I don't know why he wouldn't take the job. I guess he really likes Baylor.
But do you think
God told him to stay? Apparently.
But they would have taken. We all agree they would have taken Jay Wright over Mark Pope.
So I mean, they would have taken Jay Wright, but I think Jay Wright, Dan Hurley, like those are non-starters. Like
I agree.
I don't think that was
they
ever really a thing.
Yeah,
I think
it's like getting Santa Claus, like it's just not a possibility.
Right.
Like,
okay. So you guys think Mark Pope was the second choice? It was they had a list. And it was Scott Drew, no, then Mark Pope.
I would say at best he's the third. I do think that somebody talked about Nate Oates. I can't imagine that they did not actually check in on Nate Oates.
He got in front of that pretty quickly, though. Nate Oates did.
Yeah, but
he came out immediately.
But I think that's because he knew people were
asking. But Danny Hurley has come out three times and said no. You don't think anyone called his agent?
No, I don't think Dan Hurley would have ever considered leaving UConn. I think Nate Oates considered leaving Alabama for Kentucky.
But my point is, I bet you they at least made some sort of back-end inquiry.
Yeah, so again, but so he's third or fourth Pope, if we're going to count Hurley?
I would say six or seven.
It's not great.
But anyway.
Maybe the boring choice is the right choice.
Could
right?
be. Sometimes.
It could be, absolutely.
Could be.
And also, the way they play is not going to be boring. The way BYU plays is really fun. It's a lot of threes, and it's a lot of really fast-paced offense, and that stuff is cool. But he might be just the safer option. Nothing
yeah, but I mean, we're talking three seed for the next eight. I don't see Mark Pope winning a title in Kentucky. If John Calipari can't do it, why would I think Mark Pope could?
Because he's a better in-game coach. And that's been the problem in the tournament.
is that the in-game adjustments and the lack of strategy in games has been costing them, not the talent.
Do you think anyone in the SEC right now is scared of the Mark Pope-led Kentucky Wildcats?
It doesn't matter if they're not scared. If they were scared of Cal, they had no reason to. At the end of the day, when it came to coaching X's and O's for big games, Cal came up short every time.
Yeah, EJ is right about that. Pope's a big name in nerdy coaching circles, so that's going to worry other nerdy coaches.
Right.
If they thought they had an advantage, and they wouldn't say it out loud, but they knew they could out-coach Cal in a game, and now they can't, that'll spook them a little bit.
Lose to Duquesne in the first round, though. Just want to point out BYU
Kentucky
a 6-seed, did get upset by an 11-seed this year, but I'm still cool on the Mark Pope hire.
Does Kentucky make the tournament this year? That's what I think.
Yes.
I think so.
Who's on the roster? Did they lose the... they're clearly, assuming Reed Sheppard goes pro or leaves... I saw a bunch of guys he's not going to have much of a team. Neither is Calipari for that matter.
No, but there's always players to be had.
And the portal, baby.
Yeah, and they're still gonna make the tournament, yes. They will make the tournament. They might not be your pick to win a round or, whatever, but they will make the tournament.
And I think if you're optimistic for a Kentucky fan making the tournament, we watched BYU go from the West Coast Conference to the Big 12, which is probably the best conference in college basketball, maybe even better than the SEC. And people thought it would be scary hours for BYU, and they win there, made the tournament, they beat Kansas, they had some really good wins this season, so that's got to be positive. The only negative, well, not the only, the big negative, though, is Mark Pope has not performed well in the tournament either. Yeah. As you mentioned, lost to Duquesne last year. In 2021, they were one and done, so we haven't seen that translate to tournament wins, which would be a little concerning.
Well, also, the reality is Kentucky is in a way different spot. College basketball is so different now than 2015 when Calipari could get all the players, right? Because NIL, I assume, spread out the talent, like football.
I mean, it's hard to say that because Duke's class this year, they have two of the top four guys. Right. Last year, Kentucky had like three of the top four. They were getting the best guys. Again, the problem has been, if you think that getting the best American high school recruits is going to win you anything, you are sadly mistaken. I think we talk about these guys getting older and basketball being old, and that's true. High school basketball is also way worse than it was when John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, those guys were coming up. Those guys were dogs, and you do not have those kind of guys coming up. The number two, number three best player in high school basketball just isn't as good as they were 10 years ago.
We'll see about Cooper Flagg and also Ron Harper's other kid who's going to Rutgers, who I watched the McDonald's All-American game. In the chat, youtube.com/... CBS Sports Radio for now. Twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio, where Northwood sends Doc Rivers to Kentucky.
I called for Doc 2 weeks ago on the show.
It's cool to have the spin doctor now.
You only have to wait about 9 more days and he'll be free.
Also, saying that I said that BYU makes a lot of threes. What basketball team doesn't hit a lot of threes these days?
Shockingly, UConn, that won the whole thing.
I know. That's what I was going to say. Like, the ones who just won back-to-back titles were loving twos. Anyway, back to you.
In the NBA, it is a cluster you-know-what at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff picture this morning.
To Chris Paul, back to the basket with Henderson on his hip. Off the step, catch and shoot, right wing, three! Yes, sir! 90-86, he swishes it! And it's Stephen Curry coming to life in the fourth. He's got 22.
As heard on Warriors Radio, Curry finished with those 22 in a 192 win in Portland. His Dubs have now won 9-10. The Kings, meanwhile, took a 135-123 home loss from the Pelicans. So Sacramento, Golden State, and the Lakers all have the same record with 2 games left. They line up in that order from 8th through 10th in the West. Chiefs wideout Rashee Rice turned himself into Dallas PD yesterday on those charges connected to drag racing and causing a multi-car wreck 2 weekends ago. SMU wideout Teddy Knox allegedly driving the other car in this situation. There's also an arrest warrant out for him. He was not in custody as of last night. The school suspending Knox from the football team because of this. The Orioles and Red Sox were 3-3 through 9 at Fenway last night. Baltimore's Gunnar Henderson broke that tie with a 2-run shot, and then Colton Cowser kept swinging.
3-0 to Cowser. I say let him swing away. And he crushes this to deep right field. It is way out. Oh, he swung away. An Earl Weaver special. And an exclamation point in the 10th.
They know what they're doing on O's Radio. Cowser hit
good
the
call.
hit the first of two homers, his first two homers of his career, I should say, in this one. A 9-4 win, a three-game sweep for the O's.
I was like, do I have to know who Colton Cowser is? That was his first.
Okay. He's new. But he's another, new. That's another Oriole rookie. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, Jackson Holliday was was doing well in his debut the other day. Now this guy? Oh, boy.
The Phillies started a four-game visit from the Pirates with a 5-1 win last night. Bryson DeChambeau.
The scientist.
That's Anne Liguori live from the Masters. DeChambeau slept on the lead at Augusta after a 7-under 65. One shot better than Scottie Scheffler. Some golfers did not finish their first round because of darkness since the day began 2.5 hours late thanks to storms. Tiger Woods on that list. He's 1-under through 13. The round resumes at 7:45 Eastern. Austin Matthews scored goals 67 and 68, but his Maple Leafs lost to the Devils 6-5. It's been 31 years since the NHL had a 70-goal score, and Matthews is now two away from that. And finally, some real wrestling. Two-time world champ and Olympic bronze medalist Frank Chamizo says he turned down a $300,000 bribe to lose a match last week at the European Olympic qualifiers in Azerbaijan. He says the offer was made the morning of the weigh-in for his semifinal bout. Now, he then lost, so he says he lost straight up, but there was also a controversial call at the end of this. I don't know enough about wrestling. I don't know if he's suggesting that because he didn't take the money, then the judges screwed him out of an Olympic spot.
Yeah.
But this guy openly saying, you can't break my integrity, offer me $300K and apparently shady Baku, Azerbaijan to lose a wrestling match.
Wow, that's a movie. Wait, what do you think happened? I'm curious about the details. Like, who approached him? How do they do this?
eBay.
I imagine a guy.
Imagine a guy. Can I have your bank account numbers?
A fedora, trench coat.
Yeah, right.
Someone that says judge on the shirt.
Yeah, right. That'll teach the Europeans to fix anything other than tennis. I mean, everyone knows if you're going to fix something, just go straight to tennis. Why are you wasting with amateur wrestling?
Is there a chance that this guy thought it was like WWE wrestling? And when it showed up to him, it was like, hey, like, you know, I want to see this guy go over. So here's $300,000.
Vince McMahon in a mustache? Yeah.
Well, the controversial call is the guy brought in a chair in an amateur wrestling match. You're really not supposed to do that.
Honestly, when the ladder came out, we should have noticed something weird happening.
Slow count by the ref. Always gets him.
Foreign substance.
this was smart, actually, for him to come out and say, I got offered this bribe and I didn't take it.
Why?
Because he lost and it was a controversy. So clearly somebody, or not clearly, this looks like somebody along the way took the bribe, potentially, if I'm reading you correctly.
Got it. So he's getting out of it.
Yeah,
or at the very least, he's making himself
a press conference.
Yeah, he's like making himself a victim now. Like, forget that I lost.
Right.
Feel bad for me or feel good for me, be proud of me that I have apparently a spine and I
you
don't
can
take money.
Bet that much on amateur wrestling over there? That's amazing.
See, this is the stuff that's got to get flagged immediately. Well, if you're not using a sports book, I don't know why you do that. But yeah, with some of these like bookies.
Well, I don't think Azerbaijan has DraftKings. I assume this is off, off the official book.
Well, first of all, this is a bribe. It's not a bet. I'm sure there might have been attached gambling to it, but $300K was just for him to take to lose.
If you're paying $300K to the wrestler, that means there was probably $300 million or something bet on that. Like they would obviously the bet would look a little funny.
Or because he didn't take it, then they didn't bet on it because they couldn't control the outcome.
But maybe they had the referee.
Right.
Oh man, is anything real? 855
Wrestling's not.
Wrestling is.
Well, this should be.
This is not real, but other wrestling is.
Yeah, okay.
What?
Thinking got that backwards.
I like other wrestling. Amateur wrestling, is that what you mean by other wrestling?
I mean, WWE wrestling is real.
Oh, gosh.
Because it happens with real people? How do you mean it's real?
Because they have real people who...
There's real writers.
Yeah, storylines.
Really thinking about this.
Yeah. Right.
Can you bet? EJ told me that betting is coming on professional wrestling.
You can bet a little bit.
Yeah, you can. I've never done it.
You should go right to jail. You
can't make any money off of it.
No. Yeah, strict limits, right?
The odds are so, like, you bet the dollar, you're getting maybe a penny back.
Yeah. I knew Cody was going to win. I told EJ, like, three times. I would have bet that so much.
You want to know who else knew Cody was going to win? Like, a 20
Cody?
People. Like, a Cody? Like, 20 people in a room writing the storyline starting 6 months ago? Yeah, actually, I had a friend who worked for WWE. He said there were places you could bet, but, like, they had a lot of protections in. And it wasn't worth it.
It's making me angry that that's a thing.
Do you guys ever see...
Oh, if you're angry now, wait till your updates later in the day, because it's an important thing about today we haven't gotten to.
Speaking of angry, just a quick aside, there's no mention of the Islanders score yesterday, too. That's another thing.
Get out of here. Like the busiest day in sports history.
You know what? I don't tell you how to push buttons back there.
I'm just saying.
Do I?
It's very important. They're part of the playoff picture.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get there.
Right, and the Rangers
can't do everything in every update.
Right, the Rangers keep free falling, so I just wanted to be
free falling to the literally top spot in the NHL.
Okay,
but keep grasping at straws.
Lost again, though.
I love it that Bogish would somehow put away the Masters and Kentucky basketball and OJ on the back burner. I mean, I will get to that Islanders.
How'd the Isles do?
Right. Who cares?
I played the Ann Liguori clip was for Pete, and he's still not happy.
I like Ann.
So I like Ann, too.
Screw you.
Ann's the best.
Yeah. I want her book. She has a book out.
855-212-4227. Ann's got more interviews with famous people than, like, Costas. She's incredible.
So cool.
Okay, coming up, EJ is king for a day. And boy, is the wrath of EJ coming for all of us. He doles out his first punishment next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Maggie Perloff. I'm sorry, I'm unfamiliar with this tune. And you guys rolled your eyes? What is this? Is this the Queen of England?
Generic king walking down the aisle or queen walking down the aisle music. It's not a real song.
This is Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh.
This is his entrance music.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Jerry Lawler, like the 70s and 80s wrestler?
Yeah.
And are we supposed to know that? Like shorthand?
I mean, it's king music, obviously.
But that's like the shorthand, like the breaking glass of Stone Cold?
Yeah, for sure. You hear those, trumpets or whatever instrument, you know, the king's coming out.
We're about to do an update on Kate Middleton.
Jerry Lawler. You never saw Jerry Lawler, did you?
Jerry Lawler was the color commentator for Raw for like my formative years watching wrestling. Yeah, what do you mean?
Sorry, I'm a JR person.
Well, he was a play-by-play guy.
So... EJ is king for a day, and now we're getting themes here, are starting to show themselves, reveal themselves. And why EJ, the executive producer of the show, is king for a day is because he ended up getting the most games right at the NCAA tournament, March Madness, on the men's side. No, not our one-hit wonder bracket, which was a wild success. Congratulations again to Take On Me by AHA for winning that one. EJ got the most games correct, Perloff, of all five of us on the show, so he gets to be king for a day. And I'm being told the first punishment is being doled out right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. So we're going to Maggie here for the first punishment.
Lovely.
And Maggie, actually, there's some good news for your punishment. Because it's not actually punishment you have to do today. It's nothing that's going to happen to you today at all on the show.
I don't have to eat a cricket or something?
No, okay. It's not that bad. But your weekend may be a little busy. Because for your punishment, you will have to watch in full... a Marvel movie of my choosing.
Oh, no.
And then give us a movie report / book report on the movie on Monday.
EJ, I've never seen a Marvel.
Why this is awesome.
I have no clue. I don't know Marvel from DC, from my elbow, from my you-know-what. I'm going to be totally lost on this. And furthermore, I could care less about any of the movies. I have never thought these were interesting.
You should have thought about that before you started picking Houston to go to the Final Four, whatever you did in your bracket. So
North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina. Great pick there. So,
Houston would have advanced if they stayed healthy. I just want to stay at that point.
And they did not. And then, therefore, now I am king of the day. So, Maggie, you talked about not knowing anything about Marvel.
I know nothing.
Well, that's great because I'm going to be dropping you into one of the most confusing movies that's probably been put out by Marvel. If you've never watched a Marvel movie, you will be watching Captain America Civil War.
Okay.
Came out in about 2018, 2017.
Okay.
It is the third Captain America movie. So you're not getting origin story.
Lucky
you're
me.
Coming right in, not knowing anything. You're going to see a bunch of people you've never seen before that are going to be introduced with no context, and you're going to have to figure it out. There are plenty. It's a great cast. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, the late, great Chadwick Boseman. Plenty of great stuff. The town is awesome, but unfortunately, you won't know anything about the story, so well, good luck.
The other part, too, so this is my punishment. I got to watch this dumb Marvel movie that I'm going to know nothing about. This is going to waste, 3.5 hours, 4 hours of my night? Great. Thank you, EJ. Wow, I didn't even know these punishments could carry into the weekend.
I
have anything to do or anything.
It's a great movie. I think it's one of the top five Marvel movies ever. It's got, you didn't even mention Vision. I can't wait to try to figure out what's going on there.
You see who Vision is. It's going to be fun. And
look, this could be great.
There will be some people who will say, how is this a punishment? You guys don't understand Maggie Gray.
The moment
Perloff or
this.
I, whether on there or in our production meetings, mention anything about, hey, did you see the last episode of, WandaVision or whatever? The face Maggie makes, the anger that comes out, the vein that are popping in her head. I know what this does to Maggie Gray, which is why, as King for a Day, I'm a little bit of a mad king in making her watch this movie and give a report on it. So, you're welcome, America.
Again? Marvel? I got to write this down.
Captain America Civil War.
It's only like the fourth highest grossing movie ever.
And she's never seen
What's
it.
What's it called?
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of the Captain America movies?
I mean, I've heard of Captain America. I thought that was like T.J. Oshie or something.
This might be the best cast of any movie of all time.
Agreed.
I'm not joking. There's so many stars. You're going to love
it. How many Oscars this one win? Yeah, exactly.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.